Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. Once again, this week our learning is for the Refuah Shlema of Zev Ben Leah, that's Dr. Zev Zelenko. Shameless plug, if you're interested in sponsoring a sponsorship opportunity, you should be in touch with Sheer Enjoyment at 917-626-8306. But as I say as well, all of my learning at this point is for the Refuah Shlema of my Rebbe, Moshe Dovid Ben Bela. I'd like to first point out, before really getting into it, that as we know, this coming Shabbos coincides with Tu B'Av, the 15th of the month of Av, which in contrast to this past Sunday, the Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, which was the saddest day on the calendar, Tu B'Av is considered to be one of the happiest, most joyous days of the calendar. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons why, but just to keep that in mind, that to try to do something extra special, if you're able to, this coming Shabbos, to exemplify the fact that is one of the happiest days of the year. And the Gemara speaks about a number of different reasons why it's the happiest, one of the happiest days of the year. But, you know, in modern times, people think of it as the Jewish alternative to Valentine's Day. I don't quite see it that way. But, again, it is a very happy, joyous occasion. And the reason why it has that reputation is because the Gemara says that it had been the custom that on Tu B'Av, all of the women would end up to borrow each other's white dresses and dance in the field. And the men, the eligible bachelors, would end up to pick a wife, hopefully find an appropriate wife at that time. That's much bigger conversation than we can have right now, but that is, again, one of the reasons why it has a reputation. But, again, many other happy things the Gemara speaks about occurred on Tu B'Av. But this week's Parsha, as we know, is Parshas Vayeschanan. It is the second parsha in Sefer Dvarim. And very beginning, the first few psukim of the parsha, beginning on Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, says, "V'eschanan el Hashem be'eit ha'hilemor." At that time, I requested, or I begged from Hashem, saying, again, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, so to speak, it's his words, as we talked about last week. And he is saying that I begged Hashem at that time, saying, Hashem Elokim ata achilosa haros es avdecha es gadlecha es yadcha achazaka asher mikel b'shamayim v'aret asher yaste chamasecha v'chigurosecha. That Hashem, who is merciful in judgment, you've begun to show your greatness and your strong hand to your Eved, to your servant, with her victory over Sichon and Og. For who is like Hashem under the heavens and the earth, who can perform deeds and mighty acts like you? And I'll just read outside, say outside, that the next couple of psukim say that, please let me cross over. Moshe Rabbeinu begs, let me cross over into the good land that you have promised on the other side of the Yarden. But Hashem became angry with me because of you. Again, Moshe is saying that Hashem got angry with me because of you, the people. He's still giving a little bit of a rebuke. And he didn't listen to me. So Hashem said, enough with your request. Don't speak to me anymore about this matter. And that's the first two psukim in the Parsha. So this, the term Vayeschanan, at that time I begged or I requested, is an interesting turn of phrase. And Mefarshim and the Midrash kind of discuss, what does it mean? What does Vayeschanan really signify? Rashi, the very first Rashi in the Parsha, Vayeschanan, I'll just say it outside, ends up to go into saying Vayeschanan is a derivative of the word chinun, which always signifies a request for an unearned gift, that is chinam, it is free, a free gift. Even though the tzaddikim could justify their request based off of their good deeds, in their anivus, in their humility, they only request unearned gifts from Hashem. Another explanation that Rashi cites based off of the Sifri is that this is one of the 10 terms to denote tefillah, prayer. And the Midrash says that Rabbi Yochanan said there are 10 terms that can denote prayer, tefillah, and they are tzaka, naka, rina, pagia, bitur, kriya, nofovafilu. All these expressions, Moshe Rabbeinu Davin, are only with the approach of tachnunim, an appeal to, we'll call it in English, grace, the grace of Hashem. Yochanan said, from here, you can learn that no creature has any worth to Hashem. For even Moshe Rabbeinu only asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu with an expression that denotes asking for an act of freedom, of grace. So Rashi again cites these two opinions concerning the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu's request to enter into Eretz Yisrael. That while Moshe could have insisted Hashem allow him to enter because of his good deeds, nevertheless, he didn't do so. Instead, he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu to allow him to enter as one asked for a gift he did not earn. And the second is that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem. What is the difference between these two explanations? And why did Rashi need to bring both of them? So, no, generally speaking, Rashi is looking for the simple, most simple pshat, the simple explanation. So the Torah says that Hashem is merciful to all of his creations. This we see, not in the Chumash, actually, it's in Sefer Tehillim, the 145th parak of Tehillim, indicating that Hashem's intention to provide all the needs of everything that he created. And a Jew has the further merit of being a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the patriarchs, through whom he has the right to additional sustenance. As the Mishnah says, even if you prepare them to me like Shlomo HaMelech's banquet in his heyday, you will not have discharged your obligations for them, for they are the descendants, the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And this you see in the Gemara, Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. And by fulfilling Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, we have yet a further right to sustenance, as the Pasuk says, if you pursue the study of my Torah in order to guard the mitzvahs and observe them, then I will give you rain in its right time, and the land will produce fruits and produce. This we see in Sefer Vayikra, in the 26th parak of Sefer Vayikra. Thus, it's a normal situation for when a person approaches Hashem in tefillah for his needs, he will be requesting something that he deserves, according to principles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself established. Of course, a person could, chas v'shalom, be extremely wicked and not really deserving of any sustenance, in which case he may still daven to Hashem, support him even though he doesn't deserve it. Nevertheless, in the normal scheme of things, a person should deserve at least the minimum sustenance from Hashem, as we just explained. But even though one is deserving, it nevertheless requires us to daven, since that which a person deserves according to Torah is not a debt owed to him by Hashem. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to be merciful to his creation. He chose to give him special treatment to the tzaddikim, etc. So even when such a person deserves it, is ultimately given to him only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness and his mercy. Therefore, he should ask and not demand anything of Hashem in tefillah. A person may wish to be rewarded with more than he deserves. In such a case, he must daven to Hashem. Nevertheless, the concept of tefillah in its normal context refers to a petition to Hashem for fulfillment of our basic needs, which we deserve. So with this in mind, we can now turn to Rashi's comment. At first glance, the use of the unusual term v'eschanan in our pasuk seems to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was not making a normal type of tefillah or normal request. Therefore, Rashi explains that the term Vayeschanan does not mean a tefillah at all, but rather it always signifies the request or to beg for an unearned gift. And that is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven to enter into Eretz Yisrael because the concept of tefillah would indicate that he deserved to enter. Rather, even though tzaddikim could justify their request based off of their midos tovos, their good actions, their good deeds, they only request unearned gifts from Hashem. However, this explanation is somewhat problematic, in my opinion, from a simple pshat, because it doesn't really appear to be consistent with other parts of the Torah. If we don't find that, tzaddikim always request things that are unearned gifts from Hashem, rather, we do find a number of instances that they dive into Hashem for their needs, as we dive in for something that is deserved. Therefore, Rashi brings a second explanation, that the Eschanan is one of the 10 terms that denote tefillah. That is, the Moshe Rabbeinu actually dive into Hashem because he felt that he deserved to enter into Eretz Yisrael. The Rashi considers this to only be a secondary interpretation, even though it seems to be more globally consistent, because, one, it doesn't answer the main question, which is why our pasuk uses this unusual expression of Yeschanan for an ordinary tefillah, and the second, that a simple pshat, it's difficult to accept that biblical Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, used by Hashem himself, would have 10 different words that mean the same thing. We have a general principle that the Torah doesn't have any extra words, and in general, Hebrew itself doesn't have extraneous words. Yes, there are synonyms here and there, but even the synonym isn't exactly the same. Looking at the Midrash that's quoted in Bava Metzia that we mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan appears to offer a third intermediate opinion. On the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan holds, in accordance with Rashi's second interpretation, that the Yeschanan is indeed an expression of tefillah, indicating that Moshe Rabbeinu felt he deserved to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan maintains that outwardly Moshe Rabbeinu used an expression that denotes an asking for a kind of, as I mentioned, the grace. I don't have a better English word for it at the moment. Rather than demanding that his request be granted based on his merit. And this is because Moshe knew that no creature, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, again, who was the biggest anav and certainly was the most deserving if there was, but Moshe knew that no creature has any inherent value to Hashem in a certain way. However great that person may be, his deeds are ultimately not needed by Hashem. We need to do the right thing, of course, but Hashem doesn't need us to do them. This is a very big discussion, al pi halacha, al pi hashkafa, not for now, but we do mitzvahs because Hashem commands us to. But on the other hand, He doesn't need us to do them. We do them for our sake to get closer to Him. Again, it's a very big discussion for another time. According to the Midrash, Moshe Rabbeinu felt he had many, many merits, but ultimately he was aware that his merits did not reveal any real value to Hashem. By contrast, Rashi's first and primary opinion maintains that Moshe Rabbeinu did not feel that he deserved to enter into Eretz Yisrael. As in his great humility, Moshe felt that his merits were of no true value. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest anof who ever lived, as Chazal teach us, whoever lived and whoever will live. So the fact that he said, is so humble to say he didn't have any real merit he didn't have any real merit, that's an example of his anivus. It doesn't mean he didn't know who he was, but again, a different topic. Thus, Moshe's request to Hashem was not a tefillah at all, but rather a request for a gift he felt he didn't earn. So based off of all this, it appears that Rashi's two explanations of Hashem's response that I mentioned outside, it actually comes from Pasuk Chaf Vav, correspond to his two interpretations of Moshe Rabbeinu's request in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. According to the first approach, that Moshe Rabbeinu was requesting a gift he didn't earn, there was no limit to how persistent Moshe Rabbeinu could be, since in any case, it was not dependent on him being deserving. Hashem therefore responded, "Don't make any more requests, so that the people shouldn't say, 'How hard is the master,' meaning Hashem, and 'How obstinate and pressing is the disciple,' meaning Moshe Rabbeinu." However, according to the second opinion, that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking to be rewarded with an entry into Israel due to his merits, Hashem replied that his merits would be rewarded, but in a different way. More than this is reserved for you, much as the goodness that is kept for you in Olam Haba, is Hashem's response. Now, there's a lot we can learn from here. I think it's important to take a step back and say, well, what do we really deserve? How do we know how anything that we do has any value? Obviously, again, we follow Hashem's Torah to the best of our abilities. We do the mitzvahs to the best of our abilities because Hashem wants us to. Okay, He doesn't need our mitzvahs, but He wants us to do them so that we can come closer to Him. But just that in itself is not an indication of to our worth to Hashem, so to speak, or His worth to us. We cannot begin to calculate the way that Hashem even sees one mitzvah versus another, so to speak. We don't know the value of mitzvahs, so therefore it's even harder to say we know the value of our own merit. But we need to try. We need to do the best that we can. And when we look to each other as well, we should, try to do the best that we can for each other. If you need a favor from someone, then you should ask for the favor, even if you think you don't deserve it. If you feel that the person is understanding of where you come from. But that doesn't mean you should expect them to answer the way you want him or her to. At the same time, as a person, may say, well, I don't deserve the help I'm asking for, but I'm going to ask for it anyway because it's really important. We shouldn't be afraid to ask for help, whether it's in areas of Torah or in any other area of life. We as a society, a global society, all too often, I believe, are afraid to ask for help. We're afraid to turn to each other for assistance. As I think I mentioned previously, one of the things I do on the side is I'm a psychotherapist, and I know that one of the best ways that I can help a client to take the burden off of his or her shoulders is to remind him or her that if he or she has a support system, someone else that they can share the burden with, they don't have to take it all on their own. Sometimes things are too big for us as individuals, but that doesn't mean that that we're unable to shoulder the burden for another person as well. So if you're able to offer, not just to ask for help, but offer assistance as well. Mir Hashem, by doing so, by not being afraid to ask what we need it, especially in the realm of Torah and mitzvahs, but also to offer guidance and help, or where we see that it might be needed, even someone who doesn't ask, we shouldn't be afraid to do that as well. Mr. Hashem, by doing so, we'll be able to merit to usher in the Yemos HaMashiach, the final redemption, the Gula Shlema, from here we amen. I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and once again, they should have a Freilich and Tu B'Av, Dagi Benchit.